Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Good morning and welcome into Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. My name is Dan Anderson. I'm in for Connor today. Alongside me, Joseph Van Dyke. How you doing, Joseph?
Good. How about you,
Dan? Doing all right. And we're joined here with producer Jared King,
who is continuing his run of
being on every single episode that Connor has not been able to be here for. Jared, are you, you think you should get your name on the show? I think maybe we should change it to Sports Talk with sometimes Connor Sutton, but always produced by Jared King, something like that.
I think that sounds good.
I think you should like run that up the chain and see what happens, because Connor's not here to say anything about it, right? So, well, whatever it's called, it starts with Sports Talk, so we'll move into that today. We have a lot of things to go through today. This first segment here, I wanted to try something a little different than what Connor's been doing. So basically over the last week, I've been watching a lot of Sports Talk, listening to podcasts, listening to radios and things like that. And sometimes, I'm sure it's happened to you, I'm sure the listeners out there, you've had this too, where you'll hear somebody make a comment and you're thinking, I don't know about that. That might be a little bit overreaction. So these are all, I have a list of things here. These are all things I've either heard on the radio, seen on TV, and Joseph and I are going to go through here and decide whether we think these are overreactions or, hey, that's a pretty good take. So, and this is like prime overreaction season with NFL preseason. But it's a good time of the year. We got baseball playoffs races heating up. The English Premier League is heating up too, or just started this week. I know you're not ready for that. I'm going to have to talk to Connor about bringing me back on to do a segment about that. But I do have to say my favorite team yesterday, Manchester United, did win their first game of the season. So off to a hot start there. So the first one I have here, it has to do with the NFL preseason, and it specifically with Cleveland Browns rookie Baker Mayfield. He went 11 for 20 in his NFL debut, or NFL preseason debut, with 212 yards and two touchdowns. And so the hot take that I saw on that was the Cleveland Browns should make him the starter week one. What say you?
I don't think this is an overreaction. I think the Browns, when they saw Baker Mayfield play, took a deep breath and we're relieved. I think when you use the first overall pick on a guy, you think he's the man. And I think a lot of people out there are always going to start week three. He's going to start week four. But I think they should just throw him right in, start week one.
So you think week one, go for it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to be best for Baker Mayfield, and it's going to be best for the Browns in the long haul.
I'm a little bit more hesitant than you. I think this isn't one that I'm thinking, okay, this is a way overreaction. Like what you said makes sense to me. I'm looking at, first of all, he played against the second string because he's not the starter, so he wasn't playing those against first-team reps. Tyrod Taylor, who they, at least going up into the preseason, they said is going to be their starter. He's not a bad quarterback. He's been there for a while. He's got that veteran experience, albeit on some pretty bad teams. But when he's been healthy, he has shown the ability to be a pretty decent quarterback. So I think maybe if I'm the Browns, I'd pump the brakes a little bit because they're talking about doing something, winning some games here. I mean, they've only won one in the last two seasons. So I think right now I would stick with Tyrod just because it's one game. If he continues this through the preseason and keeps showing that he can do this, then maybe it's a conversation. But I think after week one of the preseason, maybe pump the brakes here. But I agree with everything you said. So that this one's not so overreaction to me. But if I'm the Browns, I stick with the game plan that I had and stick with Tyrod Taylor. But I don't know. I've been watching. Did you watch Hard Knocks? They're on Hard Knocks this year. It just aired this week. And poor Tyrod Taylor, he's sitting there throwing, like, beautiful passes, and the whole crowd that's there for training is just chanting for Baker Mayfield the whole time. Like, so if he has one bad game, if they do start him with the season, it's going to be – the pressure is going to be on. So, but if I'm the Browns, I am encouraged by this because he has shown – he's running around. He looked like the same guy we saw. The only thing – red flag here, 11 for 20 is still a little bit not the number you'd like to see for accuracy-wise, but – not a bad performance. He used his legs. That's what you're going to get out of Baker Mayfield. All right, so we had a next one. We have a similar thing. Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens. I saw another hot take that said that he should be the starter over Joe Flacco for Baltimore. What do you think about that?
That's overreaction. When you have an established quarterback, there's no need to get overhyped about a new guy, no matter how athletic, no matter how well he plays in his preseason debut. I think you just stick with the vet.
I agree with you on this one. This one is a pretty big overreaction. We have Joe Flacco, Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's in a contract year, which we've seen before. In those contract years, he really performs. It's the other years that I think Baltimore wishes they have back. So I think Flacco, you got to stick with him. Their receiving corps should be a little bit better this year, which should help him, but Lamar Jackson looked good. He has the same issue as Mayfield. Maybe accuracy is not quite there, so you want a guy like Flacco who that's the one thing that you know you can count on is the accuracy. He may not have that home run ball that some of the other quarterbacks have in the league. But, yeah, Baltimore, this one's an overreaction. Should not go with Lamar Jackson. All right, next one I saw, we're in the PGA Championships happening right now, so the fourth major, and Tiger Woods is involved. So, obviously, hot takes are flying whenever Tiger Woods is around. So he just finished the second round this morning, actually, because it got rained. He got rained out, so he just finished the second round. The third round he's going to start later today. He sits 6 strokes back in, after the second round of the leader. But after the first round, he was even par, and I heard somebody say that Tiger Woods will never again win a major tournament. What do you think about that?
My opinion may not be the best because I'm not the avid golf fan, but doesn't seem too far-fetched to me. I love hearing Tiger Woods doing well. You know, growing up, he was kind of the pinnacle golfer at the time, and I'd love to see a man do well, but I don't think he'll ever win a major.
Right, yeah, I think if I was going to put money down on it, I'd probably agree with you on this one, but I just feel like for how good he was in the past, there's got to be just one time he's going to catch lightning in a bottle and win one. So I think he might, but I definitely would not put money on that one. All right, next one, shifting gears here, we're going to look at some NBA hot takes I saw this week. This one came from ESPN. They released what they thought their playoff predictions were going to be, and they had the Los Angeles Lakers now, who have LeBron James, will miss the NBA playoffs next season. What do you think about that?
There's no right or wrong answer on where the Lakers are going to be at the end of the season. I think obviously they have tremendous potential. You can never count LeBron James out. He proved to us year after year he can single-handedly take a team to the playoffs. But he's not working with much with his Lakers roster. And I know they brought in a lot of vets to kind of revamp and help the young guys, but we don't really know what it's going to be in Los Angeles until the season gets underway and we see some games.
Right, yeah, I agree with this one. I think they will. I just think LeBron James is good enough to drag a team to the playoffs. We've seen him do it before, albeit that was in the East. The West Coast is much more stacked. For whatever it's worth, they are 8-1 to win the NBA Finals, which I think that is an overreaction.
That's for sure an overreaction.
The only teams ahead of them are the Golden State Warriors, the Boston Celtics, and the Houston Rockets. That is an overreaction, but I think that is swayed because a lot of people are going to go, oh, they have LeBron, we'll put some money down. So Vegas is trying to offset that. It looks like I think we have time for one more here. The next one I saw was also dealing with the Lakers. LeBron James will win the MVP of the league this season.
That is not an overreaction. LeBron James is a fine wine. He ages great, gets better year after year. I think he should have been heavily in the conversation last year, and he wasn't. James Harden deserved one. But that's not too much of an overreaction to me.
I agree with you. I think he's one of those guys who, no matter what, every year he's in the conversation just because he's that good. He's shown no slowdown here in the recent seasons. I think that he he will win it, and it's one of those things where the voters, they don't like to give it to guys back-to-back years or close together. So this, he hasn't won it in a few years. I think he will win it this year. He's that good, and especially on this team where he has not a lot to work with, he's really going to be able to show off against West Coast opponents how great he is. Yep.
And maybe stepping in, taking the Lakers to the playoffs, if that happens.
Exactly. If they make the playoffs, I don't see a way that he doesn't win it here. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about some NFL preseason, maybe talk about the 49ers and Raiders. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on KCNR 1460.
The first responders and the firemen deserve all the credit for saving so many homes and houses. Some of them didn't get saved. Hi, I'm Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Construction. Palomar Construction is working as hard as they can, trying to keep the cost at a minimum, and all the subcontractors are going to help us put people back into homes as quick as we possibly can. Palomar's cared about Reading for 30 years, and we're not going to stop now.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460, with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Welcome back in to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. In for Connor today, I'm Dan Anderson, joined here by Joseph Van Dyke. We're going to talk about some NFL preseason. We'll talk about 49ers and Raiders a little bit, and if we have some time, we have two fourths of the NFC South represented. I'm a Buccaneer fan, and Joseph is a Falcons fan, so we might talk about them if we have some time at the end here. But yeah, the NFL preseason underway. I think every team has at least played one game by now. It's just a great time of the year. We get to hear stories from training camp, especially it seems like Jets training camp. We always hear this where whoever the star quarterback or whoever they think is going to be the star quarterback, you see some tweet about, oh, they made three passes in a row and people lose their mind like they're going to the Super Bowl this year. We've had Aaron Rodgers, who's still coming back from injury. He's playing with the scout team, yelling at the backup wide receivers, saying that they're not trying hard enough. Just the stories are great. And then, like I said, the last segment, people overreact about everything that happens. But really, really all this shows us is your third-string quarterback good against a third-string opposition defense? You don't really find too much about I mean, obviously there's some things that the coaches are looking for, but as a fan, I don't know. And they're starting, you can bet on these now. I saw that there's lines on. I don't know who in their right mind would actually bet on an NFL preseason game because there's no way to predict what's going to happen. But that being said, do you have any interest watching these as a Falcons fan? Are you into these or just the Falcons, or are you into anything else?
I definitely watch the highlights. I don't really watch the game. 4:30 p.m. start, like I'm at work.
Right.
I don't really want to tune in for a preseason match and watch our third string potential guys that are going to be cut from the actual roster. So.
Exactly right. Yeah, I think for me the same thing. I recorded the Buccaneer game. I watched about the first three series just because you want to see those things that you want to alleviate some of those worries you might have. Like as a Buccaneer fan this year, the thing I'm most worried about is running back situation. We had a couple guys score some touchdowns, which makes me feel a little bit better about it. But like I was telling you earlier before we even started, I always tell myself, try not to get too hyped about these things. But then you see something happening like, oh, we scored 26 points this week. We never did that the whole last preseason, so maybe our offense is going to be on fire this year. But, yeah, there's really not much to get excited about. And by the time I get done with that third drive, I'm like, all right, we'll just go see some highlights on the Internet or something like that. So, but all it gets me really excited because the real thing's just around the corner, because now that you see guys in pads and hitting each other. So we're getting closer to the real deal here. All right, so we'll move on and we'll talk about the local teams here, the 49ers and the Oakland Raiders. Both teams finished 6-10 last season. Let's start with the Raiders here. They were 6-10 last year. They had Derek Carr under center for them, who had maybe a little bit of a rough season. He's been injured as well. But they do have John Gruden coming in to coach this year, who has been the quarterback guru, I guess. I'm sure we've all seen him on ESPN doing his quarterback camps here. So if he can rejuvenate Derek Carr's career, their wide receiver situation should be more steady. They brought in Jordy Nelson. That should stabilize everything. Obviously, he was with the Packers for years and was one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets. Offensive line should be better. Former Buccaneer Doug Martin is coming in. I think he should be a good complement to Marshawn Lynch because they're Martin's a little bit more shifty, and Lynch is a more downhill-type runner. They do have some questions on defense. Did you do some research, or you know a lot about the Raiders? Not. I think, looking at them, they should be improved over last season. Whether or not that's going to be good enough to make the playoffs for that division, I think that the Chiefs are going to be good if Mahomes is the player that they think that he's going to be. They traded Alex Smith to get him the starting job in Kansas City. I think the Broncos will be improved. Really, this boils down to me is, will Derek Carr be the guy for them? I mean, obviously he is going to be the guy, but will he be the guy they think he is? I mean, I think maybe they improve it by a win. Unfortunately, I'm not liking their chances to make the playoffs. Maybe they squeak in as a wild card team if things go their way, but I think wild card is going to come out of the NFC, or excuse me, the AFC North, I think it is. Or no, the Patriots, because they're going to be with the Jags. I think the Jags are going to look good this year. So I don't think I see improvement for the Raiders this year as far as playoffs or not, maybe a game or two, but still outside looking in. 49ers, another interesting situation, actually. So both these teams should be fun to watch. Like I said, they were also 6-10 last season. They won their last five, so they really hit it hot when Jimmy Garoppolo got under center there. I know Connor's very excited about the Jimmy Garoppolo experiment in San Francisco. Now he's in charge. He's had a whole season to start to implement Shanahan's offense, which you know well from as a Falcon fan. He had that offense when they went to the Super Bowl. They were unbelievable. I know it not quite as well, but they did torch the Buccaneers a couple times a year. It seemed like every year Shanahan was there.
We missed that offense.
Yeah, yes, you do. That's for sure. So Shanahan's had another year to really implement that, and I think that the offense could be much, much better. The receiving core should be good as well. They've had names that you recognize from teams like Pierre Garçon was with the Colts, a couple other guys that you would recognize their name, but they're not quite standout-y.
Richard Sherman coming in.
Sherman should help that defense a lot. But I think Garoppolo, if he's the guy that everybody says he is, which is Brady, the second coming of Brady. I don't even think he needs to be that that great right out the gate. But he can be the kind of guy that can really make that receiving core from good to great. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line, they worked on a little bit so that he should get more protection. I think they have the same issue as the Raiders. Defensively, I think they could be struggle a little bit here. But like you said, the addition of Richard Sherman is good, although it makes me wonder why the Seahawks were so quick to pull the plug on him. He is getting older, but, I mean, he is a great, obviously a great, great cornerback if he's healthy and ready to go. Again, I see improvement for them. Maybe two more wins. I think they go, has an 8-8 team written all over it. And that could be good enough for the wild card, maybe. I know Connor, I think last week said that they were going to be 9-7. He thinks they're going to be in the playoffs behind the Rams will win. He thinks they're 9-7. But I think the wild card's coming out of our division because we have three of the four teams made the playoffs last year, and the Buccaneers, unfortunately, were the ones that didn't. I don't see any regression from any of those teams. I think the Falcons are going to be great again. The Saints, I think, with another year of Kamara, who looked unbelievable for them, they're going to be good. And then the Panthers are the one kind of wild card team because they go as Cam Newton goes, and he's just so inconsistent here. So, I think that they will maybe improve a couple games, to me, they're mirror images of each other. Defensively, struggling maybe a little bit. Offensively, it goes to the quarter. If Carr can come back and be the guy that we've seen in the past and stay healthy and Gruden can really groom him to be that great quarterback, they can be a great team, or at least offensively they can be really great. And same thing, it's on the quarterback for the 49ers. If Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy that they think he could be, I think they could be a really great team as well.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. But most importantly, like you said, football is going to be fun to watch in the Bay again.
Exactly.
And being a fan around here, like, the hype is real again for Oakland, for San Francisco, both, like you said, Gruden being named head coach again. And everything. I hope Derek Carr has a healthy season. I think it'd be really good for the Raiders. I don't know. I want to say the Raiders are going to improve by more than one game, but there's so much ifs. Derek Carr's health is the biggest if. But I'm excited to see California football and how they do, and for football to come around again. And
yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, like you said, it is exciting. Whatever the case, whatever they do, they will be interesting to watch this year. That's for sure. All right, we got a couple more minutes here. Let's talk about what we really want to talk about: the NFC South. It was the Buccaneers, it's the Falcons, it's the Panthers, and it's the New Orleans Saints. Who wins this division, do you think, this year?
The Falcons win this division.
Unfortunately, I agree. I think I agree with you. Why do you think that they're gonna win this division? Are they running away with it, or is it going to be...
No, it's going to be close. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat until the last couple games. But like we were talking about earlier, overreactions, I think despite our preseason game where we lost 0-17 and gave up a team 2-2 in the red zone,
right,
I think our defense will improve this year, and that's the biggest thing. Last year was a huge jump. We had a couple rookies in there in our back, and they just played well, and I think they will improve, continue to improve. Our system is solidifying. Last year's offense was pretty shaky. A new offensive coordinator coming in because Shanahan obviously left. But I think second year in the system, Matt Ryan will be more comfortable. Matt Ryan has said good things about what he's seen at training camp from guys coming in, buffing up the system. So I think we improve from last year, and that's a deadly combination.
And you still have Julio Jones, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that he is unbelievable. As far as the Buccaneers go, I think – it could be a struggle for us, even though I think I like our team a lot. Like I said, that other teams are just so, so great. Jameis Winston, our quarterback, is suspended for 3 games here, which could really hurt. Our first 3 games are against the Saints. We got the Eagles, and we got the Steelers. So those are the games he's missing, which could really put us in the hole out the gate. But we did do what we really needed to improve our defense. I think we're not going to be easy to put away by any means. I'm hoping that maybe we can try to sneak in there for a while, wild card situation if things go our way, but I think it could be if we can win one of those first 3 games, I'm going to really actually be pretty happy about that, but we'll see how it goes. I'm sure that there'll be more preseason talk here when Connor gets back in. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We're going to move on to some baseball. I'm going to address some things that Connor said when I wasn't here to defend them, so, and he's not here to defend them now, so I'm going to address those. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, KCNR 1460.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
I'm here with Mike of State Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Don Burton. In the wake of the car fire, disaster rumors seem to move quickly and in some cases can be devastating to companies and individuals. One of those rumors relates to Palomar Builders and its owner, Jeb Allen. There's a rumor that Jeb has raised the prices on all his homes in an effort to profit from this disaster. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In the 30 years that Palomar Builders have been building homes in the North State, they have never had a price increase greater than 3%, ever. And many of the homes that were for sale were immediately opened up to displaced fire victims on the onset of the fire. And so many people know Jeb Allen and Palomar Builders as a giving company. And it's true, they've donated over $500,000 to Make-A-Wish in the past 2 years. Our community is important to Jeb Allen and Palomar Builders because they're part of this community. In an effort to help with home ownership, Jeb is offering $10,000 in free upgrades on any Palomar home in the month of August. For more information, contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 941-9534.
Welcome back in segment three of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. In for Connor today, I'm Dan Anderson, again joined by Joseph Van Dyke here. Switching gears to talk about baseball specifically because I've had this conversation with Connor here a couple times. He and I have debated this, and then he took the opportunity to have an unchallenged segment. I think it was on the July 14th episode. Connor read some stats from a Dan Shaughnessy article where basically he's stating that baseball is a dying sport and everybody needs to press the panic button because baseball is dying. So we've, like I said, I've had this conversation with him. I noticed he, didn't invite me the week he was going to go in and at it again. This time he had stats, and so I have a couple things that he was saying. I just wanted to rebut what he was saying here, and then maybe he can come back next week and tell me why I was wrong. But or maybe he'll just have me on and we can actually argue. But so first, baseball. He said baseball is making changes because they've been doing things to try to help the speed of play up. He says the fact that they are making changes shows that they're scared, a scared sport. That, I think, is a little bit an overreach there because, I mean, we've seen the NFL, who is this monster of a league. They are always making changes, too. They're always tweaking because these are businesses, and businesses are always trying to do things to stay one step ahead. So that the fact that they're doing that, I don't think necessarily means that they are panicking. I think that they're concerned, as most leagues are, because we're entering this age now where these young fans of your sport, they're consuming mainly through their phone, maybe even only on Twitter. They see sports highlights, and that's about it. I don't know how many guys are sitting down to watch even a full NFL game or a full NBA game. I think a lot of it is highlights, or you stream it on your phone while you're doing something else, or if you are watching it on TV, you're on Twitter the whole time doing something else. So I think that was a little bit of an overreach, saying that just the fact that they are making changes shows that they're scared. I don't think that they're hitting the panic button like the rest of the world seems to be. I'm going to filibuster here a little bit just to go at Connor. He said the one thing he was really, really into was he said the average age of baseball fan is much older, which is true. But to me, this is just a stat that you can kind of bend whatever way you want, because, yes, it is older than the average NBA fan, but that's been like that for you. If you go back in time, that's always been the case. So I don't understand. It's not like these fans are going to grow older and die and there's never going to be another Major League Baseball fan. I think as people get older, they maybe enjoy baseball more. It's always been the case. And the fact, actually, if you look at the stats from 2006 to 2016, which was the stats I was looking at, NBA fan has risen as well. So the average age of an NBA fan has gone up as well. So by Connor's logic, the NBA should be panicking too and needs to start hitting the panic button as well. I think that was a little bit of an over-exaggeration there. These are all from the Dan Shaughnessy article as well, that he just saw things that I think aligned with what he was thinking. He went after him, but Shaughnessy, who I think he's a little bit grumpy at baseball because some Red Sox players were mad at him. He's a beat writer in Boston, and some Red Sox players picked a fight with him. So I think this is where he was coming from, a place of anger as well. So basically, yeah, this to me just shows that you can cherry pick stats and make them mean whatever you want. And I think when you get the full picture, a Major League Baseball fan is older, but that's always been the case. So that's not another a big reason why they should hit the panic button here. The other thing he said, and this was the one that really got me mad, he said that the NFL, Major League Baseball should be worried because the NFL and NBA are, quote-unquote, he said, much bigger than baseball. The much bigger was the one that really threw me off. So here's the revenues of the three biggest sports in the United States. So the NFL, their revenue is $13 billion from last year. These are all from their last completed seasons, their revenue. So $13 billion, which is unbelievable that NFL is bringing in. Number two is Major League Baseball. The league that everybody's worried about is dying. They made $9.5 billion, and number three is the NBA, $4.8 billion, so almost half of what Major League Baseball is making. So I think that the fact that he said they're much bigger is a little bit of an over-exaggeration. I think that people saying that they should be hitting the panic button, they need to revamp everything in Major League Baseball to help the younger viewer enjoy baseball much more is a little bit of over exaggeration as well. What I would say is that it is a business. These are all businesses, and it's all about the money. So the fact that fans aren't coming maybe as much as they were, that was the other stat he had, that the attendance is down, which is true, although the ratings at home are up this year, which only two sports can say that is National Basketball Association and Major League Baseball are the only two that has seen an uptick in ratings at home. So it's not like nobody's watching. They're maybe just watching more at home. And the revenue still says that Major League Baseball is fine. So if the NBA passes them, then that's that's when Major League Baseball is really going to hit a panic button here. But as of right now, they're still making $9.5 billion a season or in that area. That's pretty good. And only one that makes more is the NFL, and they're just a monster machine. So, like I said, ratings are up. My take basically is that these things are always ebbing and flowing no matter what. There's a time in the early 80s that people were saying the same thing about the NFL, that this is a dying league. It's not going to be able to sustain this. And then they've blown up to be this absolute monster. NBA's had similar things said about it in the past, and they've really had a resurgence this year. I just think it's one of those things that these major sports are going to be here. Where their positions are might be changing, fluctuating, depending on the fan bases. But I think that they're here to stay. And a couple of down years of Major League Baseball, what we've seen the last 2-3 years, is not enough, I think, for me to join the course of people who are thinking about hitting the panic button. So baseball is just fine. I'm not ready to join Connor and the rest of those guys and say they need to totally revamp everything to make the younger audience interested. You have any thoughts?
I can play devil's advocate a little bit and kind of defend Connor's position in his absence. But my opinion is, first of all, let's be clear, I don't think baseball is going anywhere. I love a good baseball game. Personally, I think going to an arena and catching a game and listening to baseball on the radio are the best two ways to do it before I would sit down at a television and kind of watch a baseball game. But I'm young. I don't want to sit and watch a whole nine-inning baseball game. But I think the pressure on the MLB wouldn't come from the NFL or the NBA. I think it would be on the kind of lesser sports that are growing in viewership and interest.
Soccer is actually huge.
And hockey would be my two examples. The MLS and the USL are constantly expanding and increasing in revenue year after year after year, and you're seeing more ticket sales, TV deals going up in price every year, and the same for hockey expanding. You see an expansion team making it this year, doing well.
Right.
And I think those sports growing is the potential threat to the baseball. Maybe hockey grows in the next 5 years and surpasses and kind of merges into that top three, or maybe the same for Major League Soccer in America. But I don't think the baseball is going anywhere. The changes that you mentioned, limiting the times the catcher can go to the plate, hoping to speed up a game. Warm-up pitches too, correct?
Yeah.
In between innings?
Yeah, so they've cut those down. They're trying, and then the commercial breaks they've cut down, which I think – so I watch a lot of baseball – especially since the Red Sox, I'm a Red Sox fan, they're doing really well, so it makes it a lot more fun to watch, obviously, than when your team's not doing well. So I think that kind of skews my view this year, like because I'm sitting here thinking, this is great, how can nobody love this, but my team's won 82 games this year so far, so it's a little bit more fun. But yeah, I have noticed that they've cut the commercial break time down, and it's done. The last out is made, and it used to feel much longer before they come back, so I think that's improved the speed of play as well.
For those of you that aren't in the studio, Dan showed up this morning, 8 a.m., in a Red Sox jersey and hat. So,
well, yeah, so we were playing a doubleheader today, so I feel like I got to get my maximum use out of the jersey today. Let's switch over. Anything else to say? Sorry, before we move on. Switch over to some on-the-field stuff since, like I said, the Red Sox are rolling right now, best record in the league. They're actually challenging for the most wins ever. If they keep up their pace, they're going to be right about on that, the 116 wins that the Seattle Mariners had in 2001. Hopefully they don't lose in the first round like Seattle did that season. Local team, the Oakland A's, are surprising a lot of people this year. They have a young talent, talented pitching. Some pretty good batting as well, but some of these names are not household names, so I think it surprised a lot of people. But if the playoffs started today, they're in as a wild card team. They would face the Yankees, which if I'm the New York Yankees, I don't want anything to do with those Oakland A's in that wild card game, because now it's really put a premium on winning your division, and the Red Sox are nine games up on the Yankees right now. So unless they have a collapse, the Yankees, I think, are going to have to play whoever that wild card team is, who could be the A's, so... that could be really interesting. The National League looks really interesting as well. There's a lot of close teams. Nobody's really separated themselves, especially the NL West. The Giants are in fourth place in their division, but they're only about six games back, so they're not even out of it at that stage. Any thoughts on what you've seen this year?
I think if you're the A's, like you said, they're a young team, and this is just icing on the cake. Obviously, in development, you don't expect. They didn't expect it this year. Nobody did at the beginning of the season. But if you're a dark horse team, maybe you lose to the Yankees in the wild card game, but you're sitting pretty if you're the young Oakland A's.
And I like what they've done. They've made some moves to improve, but they haven't sold the farm yet. I think they're still where they thought they're still a year away from what they thought they would be. So, I mean, a year earlier than what they thought they would be. So they haven't really sold the farm. They're still working what they wanted. They didn't give too much away to be in position to win some playoff games. So we'll see. So basically my plea is for you, just go watch some baseball. Get those ratings up so Connor and the rest of the world will just calm down about this baseball thing. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back for one more segment. We're going to go talk about some National Basketball Association when we get back. You're listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, KCNR 1460.
This is Carl on the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 1460. On the week of 13 August, we are joined by Chastity Community College, Doug Wright, attorney at law. What do you need to know about what's happened legally? Sheriff Tom Basinko with an update of what happened with the car fire. Judy Maxwell of Maxwell Insurance, information on what you should be looking for in your insurance policies. And Dr. Kara Tennant, who will address the fire and impact on your pets. All of this next week, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a walk.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Final segment here of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Again, my name is Dan Anderson, in for Connor today. Joining me is Joseph Van Dyke. We're going to move on to some NBA talk here. They released the NBA schedule this week. So Joseph, I know, was really excited about this. He texted me a little bit about it last time. We were trying to figure out what to talk about today. So Joseph, what should we be excited about this year? What really popped out for you on the NBA schedule release?
Well, before I talk about some things I think they got wrong, I'll talk about what I think went right. Everyone talks about the East, the poor East, the non-competitive East, but I think the NBA TV schedule did a great job of revamping kind of the Celtics, 76ers. They are two of the premier teams with the Raptors right there in my top three. All four games are nationally televised, all on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Games were like more people can watch. They're not on a plane on a Monday night. So I think the NBA did good for the Eastern Conference to try and make it seem competitive. Again, the Raptors play the Celtics a lot. Obviously, they're in the same conference, so they play four times. But the way they worked it out, best for the TV ratings, best for viewership. I think opening night is going to be interesting. Opening night spread out for the next couple of days. We see Luka Doncic going to Phoenix opening night to play DeAndre Ayton. There was a lot of controversy over who should be the number one pick, so I love right off the bat they're just throwing the...
Yeah, that's great right there, yeah.
They're throwing a couple top picks right at each other. A big takeaway, if you are an NBA fan, is that the league is getting more player-friendly. Again, limiting back-to-backs. I think the season's a week longer than it was last year.
Yeah, I think that I really, really love. They started that last year where they started the season earlier, and it was the first time in, I think, five seasons that LeBron actually played all 82 games because he didn't have that, I've been playing back-to-back games. I need to, he took that 1 week break that he, a couple of years ago that everybody crushed him for, but I think that's great that they've spread it out for sure.
There's no more four games and five nights ever. I don't think any team has more than three or four back-to-backs at a time. But if you're looking for other games, one key game that was really interesting to me as a longtime NBA fan, the Spurs and the Mavericks play each other on the last game of the season, and that could potentially be Dirk's last game and Manu Ginobili's last game.
Oh, that is good. I didn't even realize that.
If you're a sentimental basketball fan and like seeing those heart-wrenching moments where you're favorite player as a kid walks up the court for the last time, you can get two for the price of one.
There you go, yeah.
Manu Ginobili and Dirk. Other than that, Christmas Day, MLK, opening night are big things. And Christmas Day, Dan, you were telling me earlier you were excited about it. I think the NBA got it wrong. LeBron will be traveling to Oakland on Christmas Day to play the Warriors. The NBA is getting the most out of the LeBron versus Golden State Warriors rivalry.
Right.
But I think as a game, that is going to be less exciting. I don't see the Lakers
Warriors
doing well.
Warriors are blowing them out, right?
Yeah, they're blowing them out at home. Christmas Day, they're blowing them out. I would have loved to see Houston fill that. I see a Western Conference Finals rematch with a healthy Chris Paul who went back. The moves Houston has made, whatever Carmelo's going to do for them this season, I would have loved to see them go into Oakland and make a big Western Conference Finals rematch.
Right, and when you mentioned, so basically what I saw, because here's what I see is, I'm a little bit more of a, I'm a huge Kings fan, but casual as the rest of the league goes, I know you're much more into the rest of the league than I usually am, but so I see this, Christmas Day, we got five games, we got Bucks, Knicks, who I was telling you earlier, I don't know why they do this to the Knicks, they always seem to put them on this primetime day, and they haven't been relevant for 30 years, it seems like, so I don't know why they do this, I think the Bucks win this game. But we got Thunder, Rockets, that's the Harden, Westbrook, the old teammates things. That'll be interesting. Sixers, Celtics, I think, is going to be a really good game. Lakers, Warriors, obviously, that's the star power, but I think you and I both agree the Warriors are going to win that one with ease. And then Blazers, Jazz, two interesting teams as well. So as a more casual fan, I saw that. But when you did mention it, I was like, yeah, that you're right. The Rockets-Warriors game would be much more interesting. But they got the right teams, except for maybe the Knicks in there. Why they can't throw a bone to the Kings? Let the Kings play on Christmas Day, right? Nobody wants to see that, right?
We would, as a Kings fan, we just want a bonus. We want more nationally televised games.
And I think, do we have just one? Is that what
yep.
I saw?
ESPN. I think we play the Clippers, so that's going to be a nail biter. Clippers Kings.
That's brutal. The other one I saw that was interesting. November 21st, we got LeBron's return to Cleveland. Obviously, he's done this with the Heat before, but I saw in a Cleveland newspaper, the headline was Lonzo Ball and Lakers in town to play the Cavs, and then the sub-headline was former Cav James also expected to play. I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
Anything else? The other one I liked was October 26th. I think this was part of the opening week. Tuesday night, the first TNT prime schedule is the Thunder versus the Warriors, and then we got the Sixers at Boston. So two good teams there. I think they really hit the nail on the head as far as the big nights. Like you said, the East Coast is easier to make those matchups because there's only a handful of great teams. So it's easy to fit. Okay, let's get the Raptors. Let's get the Sixers or the Celtics or whoever it may be. But yeah, I think you're right. For the most part, they got it right. When you mention it, yeah, they maybe could have done a little bit better. What's the MLK Day? Do you know those games off the top of your head?
No, no.
I didn't write them down, but I do remember thinking that those look pretty good. So, yeah, I think NBA should be interesting again this year. Any predictions while we have a couple minutes here? Teams are starting to shape up. Obviously, we've only seen, speaking of overreaction, we've only seen the summer league where people love to overreact about who's doing what. Is Trae Young going to lead his team to the playoffs or what? Whatever that case is? Well, what do you say?
I'm really excited for the East. There are a bunch of wild card teams. If you're looking for more games to kind of circle on your calendar, Kawhi's return to San Antonio does play. I don't have a date for you, but
that one for sure will be interesting because that whole situation was the strangest thing that mm-hmm. I've seen in some time in the NBA. I just can't believe it. And he's just so like quiet about everything. He didn't say anything about anything. He just left, and then DeRozan is furious about it. So that could really be interesting whenever he comes back to Toronto as well. So that should be a good matchup too. I didn't even think about that.
People were also talking about how Paul George is going to be received the first time he goes to LA, because every Laker fan out there we're getting Paul George this summer, and then he kind of stabbed him in the back, re-signed with the Thunder. But as far as predictions go, I think it's pretty straightforward. The top three teams in the East, the Raptors, the Celtics, the Sixers. I think the Sixers make the finals. I'm not hopping on the Celtics.
Really? I like the Celtics a lot, but I wouldn't – that's not crazy to me to think the Sixers, mm-hmm. Sixers will do that. They have that core. So if they're playing, everybody's healthy, then I really like their chances. Same thing with the Celtics. Though. The Celtics, if Hayward can stay healthy, it'll be interesting to see how they mesh when he comes, because they had a lot of guys step up, like Rozier came in.
Yep.
Some of these minutes are going to have to get cut here with the addition – or not the addition, but the – re-implementation of Gordon Hayward here. I think those will be if that's the Eastern Conference Finals, that'll be definitely something to watch. Anybody beating the Warriors in the West?
I would love to see the Rockets beat them on Christmas Day, but I think the Rockets, if Chris Paul was healthy, would have beat them last year.
I agree. I think they had him on the ropes there, and that was brutal.
But you're getting a prime Kevin Durant, better every year. Steph Curry, better every year. Draymond Green is getting better every year.
And they have no reason to rush DeMarcus, so they can get him healthy and ready to go. Basically, if he's ready to go for the playoffs, they're gonna win or be in the top even without him, and then they're going to add him once the playoffs come around. So I think they say he might be ready around the new year or maybe even a little bit later than that. But they don't care, and that's a really luxury because they don't have to rush him to get back. They can get him ready. I think that they're going to walk away with this again. Like you said, I would love to see the Rockets do something, and I think they do have the talent to. It's just over a 7-game series, it's hard to win 4 of those against the Warriors. Kings' chances, what do you think?
I think we win some games. I would love to see us be top 10. Obviously, playoffs is a long shot this year, but if we can get in that top 10, top 12, where we're competing down the stretch, because the West is going to be close. It's going to be 4 or 5 games in between the 10th and the 5th seed, much like we saw this year, in my opinion. And I just want some Kings basketball in the mix of all that competitiveness.
Exactly. I think this is the year for us to really get these young guys. We're really young. We have a chance to get those guys some minutes. Like I said, nobody's beating the Warriors anyway, so let's be out there and learn a lot. Last thing for you, I mentioned to you, it was in my overreaction segment, but we didn't get to it. Luka Doncic, is he going to win the Rookie of the Year this year?
I think he has a case. One thing that I was thinking about bringing up in the overreaction is people are saying he's overrated compared to Michael Porter Jr., who is potentially underrated, dropping to, 14, going to the Nuggets. I think, I don't even know what I think. Luka Doncic has a case, but I don't think Bagley's in it. I could be a biased Kings fan and say he has potential to win it. But
I was hoping you would say otherwise. But
I think Trae Young is a kind of underdog because he's going to be handed the keys with the Hawks franchise, and he's going to be told he can still pull up from 30, just like we saw in college. So
smart money's on Trae Young. We'll see. We have some time to get there.
I won't say smart money, but if I'm betting today, I'm putting my money on Trae Young.
All right. Thanks for joining me today, Joseph. Thanks for Connor. I'm sure you're listening out there letting me take over. We got a song hopefully you're going to enjoy here. As we go out, you've been listening to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on KCNR 1460.
The moment when the light is right before the call. The moment when the curtain's down before the show. The moment when you're done, but maybe just one more. That's how I feel before I.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.